Brady Smith DDS. Holla at Brady Smith.
Questions, you got some answers. Tell me, please, please, please. Tell me, please, please, please. Tell me, please, please, please.
All right. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on this week's episode of the Dribble with Dr. Brady podcast. I'm Dr. Brady, returning like the prodigal son. We have Lowell. Back from his native land of Alaska.
Where the wild things are.
Where the wild things always are. And 9 out of 10 people are not using their real name. I heard that.
That doesn't surprise me. I came back with a tan.
What?
Yeah, totally tanned up.
One of those famous Alaska tans?
Well, the sun's different there. It's a different kind of sun.
Mm. Is it because it's more north?
No, I think it's just because it was 75 degrees and nice out, so I was just outside all the time.
Which is not common for Alaska? Is that pretty nice? That's really nice for
Well,
Alaska.
That's why I tend to get sunburned more in Alaska than, say, like here, because if it's like 90 degrees, I'm not going to be hanging out outside.
You just avoid the sun altogether.
Yeah.
That's a smart move.
But like at 75, I mean, that's just like easy breezy, beautiful cover girl, you know, just hanging out.
Easy breezy cover girl.
You know, just hanging out
totally.
In the sun, fishing and stuff.
Why don't you tell the little boys and girls at home why did you go to Alaska?
There's a couple reasons, but the
if you can share anything.
Oh, I can share. I'll share everything. I mean,
ooh.
The good, the bad,
ooh,
the
this
ugly.
Is gonna get good.
Yeah, there was all sorts of. I had a couple reasons, but the first and foremost, the excuse was my 20th high school reunion.
That was it.
Yeah, I went and saw that.
You went and saw that. I like you said that. I went and saw. Not that I attended. I went and saw that. That's an interesting way to put that, Lowell. Like it was like a carnival, it was like a carnival ride or some kind of like weird show.
Let me paint a picture for you.
Okay, paint it.
I figured 20th high school reunion was like the flex reunion. That's where everyone is kind of, you know, we're all on the wrong side of 30. We're rolling up towards 40. We got mm-hmm. You got your stuff together and you're just flexing against all your buds, right?
Yeah.
Like look at it, touch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't do that. Because I felt bad. I felt really bad. Now, a few of the people in my graduating class were successful to some degree. A lot of them were still living in that small town. It's a very small town.
What do you know what percent of your graduating class attended the 20-year reunion?
Oh, maybe like 25%.
Okay. That's pretty decent, I would say.
Yeah, we had 22 people there.
22 people. And you had a graduating class of about 100?
Yeah, about 100. Maybe like 80, 90-ish.
Oh.
I'm not from a huge place. It's,
okay.
It's like a very small town
okay.
Of Soldotna, Alaska. I didn't flex real hard. A lot of the people seemed like they were doing the same old, same old. When you come from a small town, one of the things you notice is people do like, it's small towns have gravity that it's hard to reach escape velocity. So even if you get away, it pulls you back in. It's not pulling me back in.
My dad still goes to his high school reunions. And I think he just not too long ago, had his 50th. And, no, it can't be his 40th. And the flex that they seem to flex is just like, I'm still alive.
Yeah, that's a good flex.
Which is a great, I think as the years go by, that's the flex, is that I'm still alive, guys. So, neener, neener, neener. You don't have a wiener.
Well, if your wiener still works at that age, I mean, you're that's doing pretty good.
Right.
Plus, that medical science has kind of fixed that problem for
that's everybody.
That's right. Provided your blood pressure is okay. Hey, it's the little blue pill, everybody. You don't have to need them to love them.
I heard they have chewable tablets now for that.
I've heard as well. But yeah, I didn't flex hard. I just kind of was like, cool. You know, I kind of downplayed a little bit. And cause I kind of felt bad. But it was entertaining to like hang out with friends from high school.
For sure.
And then my best friend from high school shows up to the reunion and eats 5 hits of LSD. Life of party. Totally reinfused. I'm entertained again.
That he brought himself?
Yes.
This was premeditated?
Yes.
Premeditated acid trip?
Yes.
Got it.
So he was doing that. And then the party winded down about 10 o'clock because these people were like old. And then we went and crashed our rival high school's high school reunion, which was on the same night.
Oh, did that get interesting?
No, there was only 5 people there.
Oh.
Like, it was a smaller school, and only 5 people showed up. So once again, just kind of like...
So you broke up like a Fortnite game night or something like that.
It was basically you walked in, and we were just like, so high in the house, and it was just like... You know the robot in, what's it, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Sure.
It's that. It was that.
Okay.
So I did that. I also went to see my mom. I haven't seen my mom in a while.
She still lives there?
Yeah, she still lives there.
Kicking it.
Yeah, it was really nice. We had a good time. And then I went and did some wellness checks on some friends of mine that I hadn't heard from that have kind of dropped off the earth.
Okay.
One was a good friend of mine named Josh. We thought the worst, but when he showed up, he looked healthy. He was actually in really great shape. He'd just kind of been reclusing out in... north Nikiski, it's north of Kenai and Soldotna, kind of the outskirts of town.
Is he so hard to get a hold of because he wants to be?
Yeah, we kind of cured that problem. I stood up with me and 2 of his other best friends, and we like just snatched him. We're like, we don't have a choice, get in the car.
Yeah.
And kind of he hadn't been to town in 5 months.
Okay.
But it went well. He was healthy, you know, he seemed like he was in a good spot. And then we went and I had to track down my oldest friend. I mean, me and this guy have been hanging out. I'm not going to use his name, but me and this guy have been hanging out since before we could talk.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like old friend.
It's been a while since you've talked.
Yeah, he dropped off the earth too, and we've all been kind of looking for him. Nobody knew where he was at. I hit town. Luckily, I have a friend in town who has friends in low places.
Nice.
So I put the word out to him. And then yeah. I finally got phone numbers and stuff, started blowing him up, and he kept like blowing me off.
Yeah.
5 times he blew me off. Like I was going to meet him somewhere. He never showed up.
Oh, bummer.
Or I'd get some like excuse the next day, like some crazy, like, oh, some girl I knew blew a tire and I had to like, well, I mean, maybe she shouldn't do that to tires, you know, but yeah. You know, like,
sure.
He, just kept blowing me off, which really makes me think that, you know, there's something he doesn't want me to see. The fact is, I already kind of knew it was up anyway. It's a small town.
Okay.
But I ended up browbeating him into showing up.
Yeah.
And I met him and he did not look good. Uh-huh. He was pretty strung out. So that's kind of, yeah, I was kind of.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, that was kind of sad. But other than that, I mean, like, I had a great time seeing old friends, hanging out at old haunts. Yeah. I fell asleep in a bar parking lot.
In a what parking lot?
A bar parking lot. Oh. I rapidly discovered that I am out of Alaska partying shape.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly.
That seems like a muscle that could atrophy.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. Like, I showed up at a bar to meet a friend, and we were going to go out and actually meet another friend, but we ended up staying at the bar. I hadn't eaten anything that day.
Yeah.
So I had, like, a couple beers and like a cocktail on an empty stomach and just got trashed.
Wow.
And so I don't drink and drive ever. So I just hopped in the car, took the keys, threw them away in the back of the car, and just, I'm like, I'll wake up and I'll go back home when I'm sober, dude.
Okay. So, and you were gone for like, what, like 10 days?
10 days.
10 days in Alaska. I've always wanted to go fishing. I've always wanted to do like an Alaska fishing trip.
We should do an Alaska fishing trip. I know all the spaces.
Yeah. Well, you just like hire a company, right?
We wouldn't even have to do that.
We just hire a boat?
I know guys.
You know guys?
Well, yeah. A good friend of mine's a king fishing guide. Another good friend of mine has a couple of ocean boats, and we could go out and catch them in the ocean if we wanted to.
That's where I've heard that they hang out.
He also has a plane. He could fly us across the inlet and we could go fish on the other side where there's nobody.
That makes me scared. Those little planes. That's how many little planes are lost and never found in the Alaska wilderness?
Not as many as you'd think.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think it's more than I think.
No, I mean, it's not the safest thing in the world, but.
Did you ever watch Grizzly Man with Timmy Treadwell? It's like he's like the grizzly whisperer.
Yeah.
Who eventually got eaten by a grizzly.
Yeah, I also watched the documentary about him.
Yeah. That's what Alaska always reminds me of. Just that dude.
That dude was kind of dumb.
Well, he survived a long time. It's funny because in the documentary about him, there's a scene where he's on the Letterman show. He's talking to David Letterman. And David Letterman just jokingly says, like, now I'm not going to, like, read a headline years from now that says you got eaten by a grizzly bear, am I?
Yeah, he did.
And he's like, no, no. Like, people misunderstand grizzly bears. And if you understood them like I do, then you would know they don't pose a threat.
They're wild creatures that are carnivores.
And then he totally got eaten by a grizzly bear. And he got his girlfriend killed, too.
This is the thing about that guy. A lot of times, I mean, in some of these survival guys that have died, because there's been a few that have been eaten by grizzly bears.
Yeah.
If you look into their, like, history, they're not, like, real true survivalists into any degree. Someone is always, like, usually you'll look into these things, someone's always pulled them out. Or they were, like, somebody, like, rescued them at some point, you know? Or they had, like, a crew in place to, like, save them if a bear ate them. Grizzly bears are no joke. I've seen
I don't think he had that. It was just him.
Yep. And that's,
he had no lifeline. Because I think he had done it for like 18 years before he got killed. So like, that's a long time to be like among them surviving.
I feel like he was living on borrowed time.
I think so too. Yeah. No, I would not. Like, I would be like, you know, that's what people say to me in like in the office when I'm in dentistry. Here's the analogy to dentistry. Here's our dental moment for the episode. Just to keep it dental. People always say, like, I'll say, hey, the filling in your tooth is, like, super huge, and it's a problem because it's so big, and there's no other problem besides it's just too big, right? Your tooth is compromised. Like, more than half of your tooth isn't your tooth, dude. We got to, like, put a crown on this thing or it's going to fracture. And the common retort is, it's been this way for, like, a decade or longer, and it doesn't hurt me. And I'm always like, yeah, that's the problem. That's like you're living on borrowed time. Like you, it's like if you told me that I haven't worn a seatbelt for 10 years, I would think you're at a higher risk that something's going to happen than if you hadn't been wearing a seatbelt for 2 years. Because the longer you do it, the more probable, like your time, your day is going to come, and it's one of those days, right? So you've survived a long time. It's like saying I don't need a seatbelt because I've been wearing one. I haven't been wearing one for 10 years, and I've been fine. So obviously seatbelts are useless, right? Well, until they aren't.
The interest compounds on that scenario.
Right. So it's like I've been living with grizzly bears for 18 years and you're like,
you should have called it.
What?
He should have called it at 18 years. Just been like,
when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is borderline erotic. Like this is like, he has a weird.
Like a fetish.
It's a weird relation. It's like, does he think he's a grizzly bear? And in a way, I think he kind of like thought he was like cool with them.
Let's
and
just call
like,
it bearerism.
And they're like, no, you're not cool with us, man. You're not one of us. And one of them reminded him about it.
I've had a couple encounters with grizzly bears, and they are not to be trifled with. I'm telling you what, dude.
You don't have to sell me on that, Lowell. I believe this.
Well, this is the thing. Like, grizzly bears are apex predators. So,
yes.
They kill with intent. So
yes,
okay, so they're not like sharks, where sharks are opportunistic predators. Yes, they will go after stuff, but a lot of times, like, you've heard of people getting bumped by sharks. That's just a curious shark going, what are you, you know, like, are you food? You know, but bears aren't like that. So I mean, like, that works to your advantage when you encounter them. Because I've encountered grizzly bears numerous times.
So they don't see you as, you're saying they don't see you as food, and they don't see you as if they don't see you as a threat.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if they don't see you as a threat, yeah. But you're like, especially if you're in their territory, you know, for all intents and purposes other than man, they are top of the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason man is top of the food chain
unless
is
those salmon ever bind together and collectively.
They're really stupid.
No, yeah, the salmon can't do that. They're not. They're too dumb.
Dumb. Yeah,
they can't collectively join forces and topple the food chain.
But they just said, like, they're top of the food chain, so they don't fear you,
right?
Unless they've been around man.
And so they'll let you just hang out.
No, you have to like show subservience. I mean, I've encountered them. We walk up, and the first thing you do is you just stop. If you see one, just stop. Don't run. Just stop.
Okay.
And they might stand up, they might, you know, make some ruckus, but 9 times out of 10 with me, I've had one stand up on me before, but like, they just look at me like I'm nothing. and just go about their business. And I just wait a little bit, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go the other
way.
Yeah.
I've only run into a Bears a few times. In Colorado, when I was doing some, I was heavily involved in hiking in Colorado, hiked all the time. And I climbed, I think, 42 of the 58 14,000-foot peaks in Colorado. And on, like, three different occasions, I ran into a bear. And every single occasion, they just ran away from me. But they're a little black bear. They don't...
Black bears are different.
Yeah. So they're not, I think they actually are afraid. And those, they're there because of campsites, I think. At least in those situations, there was campsites within a mile of the location where I found them.
I think it depends on where you are. It depends on how, like, exposed to humans there. But I think that black bears are far more dangerous than grizzly bears because they are not on top of the food chain. Black bears primarily are scavengers.
Yeah.
So they are like sharks. They're opportunistic killers.
You know? Well, they're not trying to kill you. Yeah. Right.
I've had a few.
Until they are.
I've had a few, yeah. We get to where I grew up. We had a gold mine in a place called Moose Pass, which is between Seward and Anchorage in a mountain range.
Okay.
And I've had them charge me before.
Oh, yeah.
But the last one I got out of there was 7 foot.
Okay.
So it's big black
bear. That's a big boy. Yeah, the one I remember specifically shimmied up a tree, and I thought, that's interesting. You just... ran up a tree.
I ran into one when I was a kid. Like, literally, I came around a corner, and there was, I came around the corner. You couldn't see anything. It was completely obscured until you were around it.
Mm.
And I saw a black bear, not a very big one, about 6 feet from me.
Hmm.
And I ran at it and screamed.
And you ran at it.
There's fight or flight, dude, and it's involuntary.
Okay.
My reaction is to, it's the reason I tell people, don't scare me. Like, if you scare me, I might punch you just because that's my reaction to being, frightened is I run at things.
So the black bear's probably thinking, whoa, the confidence on this fella. There must be something behind that. I should get out of here.
7 years old.
Oh.
No, it was small. And we, collided, and it just took off. I took off. It was just like.
Oh, 7. That's a little snack. That's a little snack for a black bear.
Nah, this thing was probably, it was pretty small. It was about my size.
Oh, maybe not a full grown then.
We were I fell down a hill once, and and there was a very large black bear down the hill that just kind of looked up at me, and I ran back up the hill and jumped into my dad's K2 Blazer and just slammed the door. Nice. Get the gun!
Nice. Nice. Well, it's good to have you back, Lowell. We had to settle for some not Lowell guests, which actually went okay.
Yeah, I listened to that episode. That was a fun episode.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get Nick on for a while. That was fun to listen to Nick. It seems like a good guy. And also reminds me of my childhood nemesis. So
I noticed.
I feel a kinship. It's weird. I feel a kinship with someone that you don't even know. But you're like, I kind of feel like I do know you.
I kind of related to it. I ran into my childhood nemesis while I was at home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That went okay? Squashed the beef?
No.
Beef squashed?
No, not really, but it was just we're just too long in the tooth to care anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, regardless, it's good to have you back, and it's time to get to work. We got things to do, right?
Oh, I hit it hard as soon as I went home.
Boom. Hit it hard. I had some questions about Alaska.
Yeah, hit me.
So, Alaskans get paid to be Alaskans, right? There's a stipend at the end of the year that you get, or something like
it's
that.
Not, I wouldn't
or
call
a
it,
tax.
No, it's not
exemption.
That. There, you do get money. It's, what it is there.
How's that work?
Okay, so think of a country it's a less extreme form Norway.
Okay.
The state itself has a lot of natural oil reserves. So what happens is they put that money from those oil reserves into an account. And at the end of the year, or whatever, however they time it out, Alaska gets known, what's known as a law in Alaska that gives each resident what's called the permanent fund. And it's a dividend off of earnings of the oil field. Basically of oil in the state.
And is that used to incentivize people to stay in Alaska so that people don't move or to bring people in?
Yeah. It's definitely trying to, I don't know exactly why it was put in place, but I would say that was probably the key behind it was to incentivize people to stay.
Why isn't Alaska more populated? Like just
it's hard to live there.
I mean, but like just because it's cold.
No, that's hard to live there, man. Like it's a
there's lots of cold places that where yeah, there's but, still tons of people.
Yeah, but it's like what it, a buddy of mine put this in a really good
like,
way.
Why is it hard to live there?
He's like it's a more insane Montana. The weather shifts are extreme. I mean, real extreme.
Okay.
You can have like 60 degrees of variance in a day. Mm. Some like you can die outside very easily, like very, very easily.
There's other places like that though.
Like, yeah, but just think about in the United States, like what other places like that, that where you can just go outside and die in like 10 minutes.
Listen, I went to undergraduate in Rexburg, Idaho, and there were days where you couldn't start your car because it was so cold outside. And you had to wait for the first person to start their car. And then that person had to jump everybody. And you just had to start jumping people's cars. Or you just walk through the cold.
We have like battery blankets up there. Like where you plug in your car.
That's smart.
And then there's a blanket around your battery that keeps your battery warm. And then you have
so it starts.
You have heat strips on your engine block.
So I've lived in cold where it's like, it's so cold that cars don't start. That's cold, man. That's like some negative 20 crap.
Yeah, negative 20 is light duty.
But I just wonder, like, there's so much land there.
It's remote, though. It's expensive.
Is it?
Because it's remote. It's like, think about, like, living in Hawaii. I mean, it has, like, similarities to that. You got ocean on one side and another country on the other. There's no physical connection between the United States.
Yeah.
So everything's got to come through another country or be flown in. So that just added
or
expense.
Or on a boat.
Yeah, or a boat.
Into a port.
That's extreme. I mean, that adds cost. Than just being able to truck it over there. Weather extremes require, you know, like you have to have more car maintenance. You have to have different kinds of tires. You have to get studded tires one part of the year, and then you have to put regular tires.
Like
on the
you
other
said,
side.
There's a lot of like, there's a lot of natural resources there.
There is a lot of natural resources in very extreme places, though. A lot of those are really hard to get to.
Yeah, I've always just wondered, like, why couldn't it just like blow up, like a miniature Texas?
Well, like negative 30 will run most people off. Negative 40 gets rid of 90% of people. And then you start getting negative 50, negative 60, then it's a whole other bag.
And is that, are those regular temperatures in like the bigger cities? Or is that more like north where it hits that?
No, dude. And where I lived was in on the Kenai Peninsula, which is the southern part of Alaska. And I can remember days it was like negative 30 out.
Okay.
I had to go start the car three times a day just to keep it running.
Yeah.
And you know, and then like shovel like 5 feet of snow. Just from some big giant.
I'm just trying to give Alaska some love, dude.
I'm just telling you, it's extreme. Like it's
in dental school, that was the rumor that you could make bank in Alaska, and I think it was. I mean, I think it's true. I mean, you can make bank anywhere, but there were like incentives. Actually, we've gone over this on the podcast. Yep. The hoverboard dentist was an Alaskan
Anchorage
dentist.
Alaskan dentist,
and he got in trouble for making too much bank. Because he was fraudulently, he got like 12 years in prison. It's crazy. I forget what the guy's name was. But he didn't, a lot of people know the hoverboard dentist. That video went viral, obviously, but that's not what he got in trouble for. He got in trouble for fraudulently billing Medicaid. He was, if I remember the statistic correctly, by himself, one doctor in the entire state of Alaska was responsible for 30% of the entire, of all payouts for sleep or sedation billing.
Yeah.
That one guy represented 30% of an entire state. I can't even wrap my head around that.
He was ripping people off pretty hardcore, though.
And he was ripping off the government.
Yeah.
But because the way Medicaid runs is that there's not a lot, the problem is, well, I don't know it's a problem. This is kind of, it allows you enough rope to hang yourself because you'd think like after billing it out like 10 times, they'd be like, hey, let's check in on you because you're billing this out a lot over the last like month. Let's check in and make sure you're billing correctly. No. They'll let you do it for 4 or 5 years.
They want you dead to rights when they call you on it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because they don't want to do it unless it's a multi-million dollar thing and they can like make an example out
Nail
of you.
Nail you to the wall.
So you get... It's like this Timmy Treadwell thing with the grizzly bears. You become like complacent or like numb to the threat, numb to the potential harm you're doing yourself because you don't see it anymore, right? It's like a car. Like, you could definitely die in a car, but you don't realize that you can die in a car. You don't think about that. You just drive your car, and you're not really aware of how your car works until your car stops working, right? So in that way, the system is kind of built to allow you to be like numb to that, like desensitized to like, I've been doing this for 18 months and all I do is keep cashing these fat checks. So I'm just gonna keep doing it, right?
I will tell you the one major reason why people don't, a lot of people don't live in Alaska or won't, or will move up there and then move away.
Okay.
9 months of darkness.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's what drove me out ultimately. Other than I had these other things too that were like, you know, I wanted to do more with my life. I wanted to like see more. I wanted to, you know, be in the world.
Yeah.
Cause like, I didn't feel like I was part of the world in Alaska. I felt like I was kind of,
yeah, that's interesting.
I'll use harsh letters. We always say geographically effed up there.
Yeah. Okay. But that does get more dramatic as you go north.
Oh, it gets way more dramatic. There's a parts of Alaska where you don't have sun for 30 days.
You don't have sun for 30 days. That's crazy.
Well, you just think about how the axis of the earth turns, and when it shifts a certain part, it just never gets any sun.
I know that happens in Norway too. Norway does the same thing.
Yeah, because they're right up
above,
in that part of
the
world.
It gets above the Arctic Circle. And so you just, sun says bye-bye. For a long time. But then there would be times also where it never gets dark.
Yeah. In the summer, when I was up there now, I mean, it didn't get like completely dark. Like it would get kind of dark, twilight-ish, and then the morning would start rolling in.
I mean, I suppose that's like, yeah, it's almost like living on a different planet, dude.
It's definitely weird. And it definitely, messes with your like circadian rhythms. And, you know, that's why we have, you know, there's like different kind of depressions that you get from that, like cabin fever, you know.
Yeah.
Vitamin D deficiencies.
A lot of things there, dude.
That's the main one, though. I would tell you, like, and then you, like, if you compound the cold, the icy roads that are like crazy to drive on, you know, the snow, everything just seems to be like, in the wintertime, it seems like packing you in.
Is COVID a salient threat there or salient? Is there an awareness, or is it more like a Florida where it's like, what pandemic?
There's an awareness, but it's definitely, I would say equate it more to, it reminded me of Texas, very cowboy-esque in their approach to COVID.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what Alaska's numbers are.
Yeah.
At all, but.
I don't know. I heard a lot of people talking about, the Delta 13 variant.
The Delta. Yes.
I want to get shirts made, but, yeah, there was a lot of talk about that and stuff, but I mean, I'm just not playing anymore, so.
That's a game I have opted out of.
Yeah, I'm done playing that game.
Yeah, I'm kind of done playing that game, too.
Yeah, me too, dude.
Except for California just passed a law that this is going to affect Dennis, and I hope Washington doesn't do this, but California just passed a law that requires, all healthcare workers show proof of vaccination. So dentists are included in that, and then all employees of healthcare workers also have to show proof. So if I was a dentist in California, I'd have to, I don't know how they're enforcing this, but you'd have to like force your staff to get vaccinated or fired.
I mean,
it's terrible.
I'm not like an anti-vaxxer, right?
Right.
But that sounds like some serious eugenic shit right there.
It does sound like it.
Yeah. And this is the thing. My wife told me something the other day that I found very fascinating, and it just makes, you know, think about California, folks, you know, like, it's just barren. It's burnt. There's crazy stuff going on there all the time. They're not going to have bacon. They're presumably not going to be able to have bacon anymore.
I heard that.
Yeah, in California, because California put restrictions on meats that can be shipped in, like how the pigs are raised and how much space they have, which I believe it was something like 85% of farms don't have the requirements to be able to ship stuff into California.
So bacon is going to turn into a...
black market item.
Right. Like a very like unique commodity.
What a good day to be a pig farmer.
Right. Right.
But yeah, it's just like an unlivable place. But that sounds like eugenics to me. Like, you know.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I understand the intent is like to protect people. But there's also lots of like, you know, I mean, I don't want to tell people how to do anything. And I don't want to like, to tell my staff, like, I don't have a problem with myself showing whatever proof they want, but like forcing my staff, that's where I'm like, they can force me. And I'm like, I don't like it. It's icky. Whatever. Here's my papers. But like to force staff.
What did you just say?
I said, here's my papers.
Yeah, what does that sound like?
Yeah, it sounds like Nazi Germany is what it sounds like. Yeah,
show me the papers.
I need the papers. Yeah, I don't know how things are going to work out, but I don't think I would do it. Or it depends. I don't know how they enforce this. So, but at some point, I think the people just got to say like, nah, enough, man. Like, get out of town. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, yeah, so up there is like a microcosm of like, I would say like Texas, Florida.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a bravado.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't really get slammed with it either. So because the geographical remoteness of that place, I'm sure shielded them to some degree. But yeah, forcing people to get vaccinations, that's, you know, I'm really on board with that.
Yeah.
Because if you get a vaccination, presumably you'd be protected. Now, like any disease, you know, let's just take a flu, for example. They mutate. That's what they do. How many, like in a 10-day period, how many generations of a virus are there where they die, reproduce, you know, like reproduce, die, reproduce, die, reproduce, die, reproduce, die?
Sure.
Probably 1,000 times, if not even more. How long would it take human beings to do that? That same amount of generations, 1,000 generations of human beings.
Yeah, it seems like a virus whack-a-mole.
Yeah,
like one, like get rid of one, you're like one is gonna pop right back up, and then everyone's got to like lock down. Like I don't know.
And what are the Delta 13 variant? What are the symptoms of it? It's a more contagious but less extreme COVID.
More contagious, but not as
extreme in symptoms.
Right, like the
just like a flu, just like a cold. It's just trying to survive longer, just like every other creature on the earth.
Yeah. Did you hear our president said that you get $100 now if you get vaccinated?
Well, is that retroactive?
No.
Yeah, well, that sucks.
No, he said even it was like, I know you're feeling bad or something. Like he mentioned it, like but like we got to do what we got to do now. So now they're throwing money at people. $100 to go get that. Now they're selling the vaccine the opposite direction. That's crazy, dude.
They're paying you to get it.
They're paying you to get it, which is like, and I don't think it's going to work because I think the people who haven't got it by now are
probably pretty, I mean, they're giving
like,
it away.
This is even more suspicious that now you're going to pay me money. This is like, hey kid, do you want some candy? I got candy in my van. Come and get some candy.
Come get some candy from an unmarked van.
It's like, that's what they would do. Yeah. It's like, oh man, it's just like the most terrible strategy. Like, let's pay. I found this out one time with some dental marketing. Cause I always thought, you know, we have a $19 exam and x-ray deal, which is a great deal, right? 19 yeah. bucks. Come in and get your,
I have taken advantage of that deal.
Yeah. Come in and get your full x-rays, total exam, no cleaning included in that. Just $19. We'll come talk about your teeth, right? Pretty good deal. I always thought, man, I should just do these intro deals for like a dollar. Now, the reason you can't do free is because if you offer free and advertise that, you also have to offer that to insurance companies. So if you say it's $0 exam and x-rays, insurance companies deserve that deal too. And so they will, you have to honor that. But if you charge any amount of money and require payment at time of services, insurance companies are offered that as well, but insurance companies don't pay at time of services. Insurance companies pay after services. So my strategy was, why don't I just charge $1? I think we did that for a summer of one. And overwhelmingly, I found out just by talking to people coming in, like, yeah, I was super nervous. I was like, $1 sounds like
sketch McGowan.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is having the opposite marketing effect. It's keeping people out of my office because there's a certain amount of money where it's like, that's reasonable. $1 is unreasonable. You're definitely trying to trick me. You're definitely trying to trick
me. It's the foul stench of desperation. You know what I mean? It just kind of comes out to just like the layperson. If like someone is trying that hard to get you through the door, that's like, it seems a little desperate. Nobody likes desperate.
He thinks the lady doth protest too much.
Yeah.
That's.
Does the mother know that you weareth her drapes?
Right. So, I mean, I just watch this stuff. I'm just like, this is interesting. Now we're paying money to people. Let's see how that works. I just don't think it's going to work.
It's just a crazy time.
I don't think the people who aren't doing it, maybe some of them will be like, I could use the $100. That'll get me out of a jam right now.
It was nice. I mean, like, one of the things that I will say about Alaska was it was really nice to have kind of a break from COVID. Because life kind of just...
I felt that way when I went to Florida.
Moseyed on. I mean, I went to... there is this thing that they have in Soldotna, like it's called Wednesday in the Park, and they have bands play.
Oh,
they
nice.
Have vendors, and they have like food trucks. And I mean, the thing was packed out. It's right That's on the great. Kenai River on the park.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was a really
just
good
people
time.
Out eating and
I haven't got to do that in forever.
Right. Yeah.
To be in a group of people just kind of walking around, having fun. There was really cool stands, with cool, like very Alaskan stuff.
Yeah.
Guy was selling rocks. Like polished rocks.
And then, what kind of rocks?
There was a knife maker there who was making cool stuff. I got I got halibut tacos at the thing. That was pretty cool.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was pretty
neat. I bet halibut tacos in Alaska are
fresh halibut. It doesn't get any
better. Are other level.
Halibut.
They're next level.
I got to go out in the ocean. I mean, that was really cool.
You went out in the ocean?
Yeah. A buddy of mine has a drift netting boat. And because fishing has been so bad the last couple of years, he hasn't been able to hire.
What's it been so bad?
Just it's how fishing goes, you know. Like some years it's feast or famine. Some years it's amazing. Some years it sucks. But he hasn't been able to hire a deckhand in a couple years.
Well,
he's been flying solo.
Huh.
I went out with him one night.
Was he trying to recruit you?
No.
Oh, okay.
He knows. I did that for 2 years with him. I'm over it.
That's rough work. That is hard work for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely hard work. He has a diesel.
I imagine high competition too.
Oh yeah, it's it's pretty. You're bumper to bumper sometimes.
Yeah, I'd imagine that. Well, let's do a secret word before we forget. It's been a while since you've done the honors.
Yeah, I got
of
one.
A secret word.
I got one.
What's your secret word?
Okay, so I'll give you a mild explanation, and I'll do this. I'll try not to monologue too hard over here.
Okay.
This is what you call an Alaskan, a true Alaskan you would, or like a hard Alaskan you would call a sourdough.
A sourdough?
A sourdough. This is Alaskan slang.
Okay.
The secret word is going to be Alaskan slang.
Okay.
What you call like a new, green, naive person, you call them a chichaco.
A chichaco.
Yeah, so that is the secret word is chichaco.
Chichaco. All right, ladies and gentlemen, secret word for this week is chichaco. That's worth $500 at Dr. Brady's awesome practice in Camas, Washington. I do not make house calls, so you will have to come to me. If you cannot use the $500 of free dental work, you can gift it to someone who can. That's an awesome gift. So keep that in mind. Email the word chichaco to drilledpodcast@gmail.com. The fifth person who sends that in will get the prize. It'll be awesome. Well, we got Lowell back. It's been 10 days without Lowell.
I'm glad I was missed.
I'm aimless without him. It's nice to have you back. Anything else we need to go over?
Yeah, you guys should all hop on over to the Halo Instagram and keep a close eye on that.
Oh, yeah, we got lots of content coming.
Stuff coming on that. We got stuff coming out very soon on the Drilled Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Definitely keep your eyes open for that, and like and subscribe. We love those likes and subscribes, and we need many more of them. The more we get, the more we can help.
Or even some reviews on our podcast. That'd
yes,
be kind of cool.
Please, yeah, some reviews on our podcast would be stunning.
One of the podcasts I listen to, a dental podcast. The guy has a Facebook page, and he asked everybody to go and leave a review because he got some weird reviews. And he wanted to bury them, and so I left him a haiku.
Nice hit. Are you going to tell us?
I forget.
Oh, dude, you can't tease us with haiku. Oh,
the haiku? Okay, hold on.
Yeah, find the haiku.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going to try to find this. Let's see.
I've done that. I love writing haikus.
Let's see if I can find it and then go into the reviews.
That's five syllables, seven syllables, and then five syllables again.
Right. Okay. The podcast is called The Very Dental Podcast. Alan Mead does it. He does a great job. Okay, let's see if I can do these by wonderful content, great content.
My first name, Lowell, only if you say it right, only has one syllable.
I don't ever say it right because I like saying it the other way.
Lowell. Elliot.
I don't know why mine doesn't come up here because it's not.
So you, everyone be on the edge of your seat as Dr. Brady Smith reads us a haiku, a review in the form of a haiku.
I can't find it. I'm scrolling through his. I'm scrolling through, man. Let's see. Maybe, I don't know. I can't find it.
I can't okay, find it, dude. Do you have like the burr, burr, burr sound?
Nope, hold on.
That kind of works too.
Nope.
That one doesn't work.
No.
No, that's all right. There it is.
That's the one. That's the one. Anyways, I'm just saying, if you could leave us a haiku
in the form of a review, that would be stunning.
Yeah. Why don't you go to our thing and leave us a haiku? For those who don't know the rules of haiku, the first line doesn't have to rhyme. First line is 5 syllables. Second line is seven. Third line is 5. And just be creative and leave us a haiku. That would be awesome. What's our rating? Because I know we got 10. Hold on. Let me look at this up. I'm interested now. I'm taking up the last time to talk about our reviews. 3.5. That's bad. It was worse. It was worse.
Way worse. That's actually pretty good comparatively.
Yeah. Let me look at some of these because I know we've gotten some good ones since. Yeah, never thought about listening to a dental podcast before, but I love this show.
Because we keep it lively and fresh, indeed. Y'all.
Let's see. I haven't read these in so long.
Me neither.
Whoa, here's someone. I absolutely love this podcast. I got so addicted, I listened to 97 episodes in just over a week.
We love you, whoever that is.
Germworm.
I want to give you a big
hit. This was left on February 4th of this year. Wow, that's very nice.
Yeah, Germworm, thank you. Kisses, yo.
Oh, look, I think it takes a real honest person to show the world who they really are, and this will always call haters and trolls out of their caves like hungry, malnourished grizzly bears waking up from hibernation. We just talked about grizzly bears today.
We did.
Yeah. Yeah, I get all these good ones until you get to, it's all 5 stars, until you get to right around episode 29.
Ooh, episode 29.
Which is not even available anymore. Dr. Brady, I'm appalled by your standards of care. For you to say that hygienists want to take a while cleaning because they are paid by the hour, it's disturbing.
Man. Jeez Louise.
This was left over a year ago. Then there was like, yeah, 5 or 6. Someone gave me 2 stars. That's interesting.
Seems kind of like a non-committal kind of person.
Oh, it's also about, yeah. I actually found this podcast on Instagram through the amazing and generous work that they do to restore people's smiles and confidence in them. However, after listening to episode 29, I don't have the same respect that I previously did. I understand where Dr. Brady was coming from, but I don't agree with how it was handled. Unprofessional. It's true. I'm not going to even, I am unprofessional. I hate the idea.
And like every other episode.
Right. I don't think that you are providing the standard of care to all your patients by diagnosing tissue health through what's.
Oh, that was all about 1 year ago, wasn't it?
It was all the same. It's all the same stuff, dude. It's all the same stuff, man.
He needs a hygiene department.
This is why we need it. Okay. Sorry. That was like the most boring 5 minutes of the entire podcast
free
ever.
Free dental care, anyone. This guy is a true philanthropist. That was a year ago. Oh,
I thought you were going to say philanderer.
Philanderer?
A true philanderer.
He's a charlatan and a troglodyte.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell's back. This is awesome. Join us next week. I actually have a few guests. I might actually do some more guesting, get some more real dental opinions.
Well, I play catch up, yo.
Yeah, Lowell's got things to do,
Lowell's
yo.
Digging out of a hole right now.
Anyways, here's to 20-year high school reunions. I'm glad you had fun at yours. I have not been to any of my high school reunions.
Just avoid it.
Yeah. I would say, unless you're like super tight with a lot of people, make it fun.
I was kind of like an in-betweener. You know, yeah. Like I was popular.
It's interesting.
I was popular, but I kind of mixed crowds. I kind of wandered in any crowd I wanted to, but like I just didn't really feel like a kinship with sure. some of the people there in your
sure.
anymore.
Sure. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining in. Appreciate your patronage. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.